You're listening to the Mental Ideas Podcast, the only radio show where the lunatics are fully licensed to take over the asylum. I'm Sadie Kay, and so am I. Coming up, time to get crazy.
Super crazy.
Eugenia creates virtual reality dances to express her bipolar disorder. Do you think it's true that people with bipolar disorder are more creative than those without it? Or is that just a dangerous delusion of grandeur?
Two things I noticed about myself that are a bit different than, say, someone who works in finance.
Only two? Go on.
The racing thoughts thing, right?
Yeah.
So I find that, like, in an hour, I'll have the same amount of thoughts that maybe somebody else will have in a week. Like, that's how many more ideas, right? So I suspect that might be one reason why I lean towards creative stuff. And then number two, I told somebody once, the reason why I have no interest in drugs is because if I just let myself go, things have come across very bizarrely.
Yeah, without God, we don't need any acid to hallucinate.
No, so it's like, no. Go off your medications, you'll have an even more bizarre experience. I remember one time I was sick and I hallucinated like all these things coming out of the ceiling. And I was like, whoa, I never need drugs in my life. This is what I'm seeing when I'm sick. I can save a lot of money and grief. But you're right. Bipolar people I look up to, the bipolar friends I have, they tend to be in the creative industries. It's funny.
Thank you so much for joining me.
Such not a freestyle person, but I'll wing it.
I never plan what I'm going to say in these interviews. I just pray. Florence, tell me all about your amazing high-flying career.
I'm the very local Florence Wong, and I was flying for... Can you beep this out?
Yes!
Airline.
I was actually expecting you just to say what your job was.
my job was to ask you if you want chicken or beef for lunch.
I wanted to be an air stewardess.
It's like having a dream wedding.
They
have their wedding book. I was shadowing bathroom assistants for first class.
Yeah.
Because
they're too pissed to go to the bathroom by themselves or...
No, they're not. In first class, they actually have two bathrooms for, I think, eight people.
Eight people in the bathroom?
No, eight seats in first class. They would have a timetable.
Yeah.
And then the bathroom assistant would, like, politely ask them, oh, yeah, when would you like to use your shower? Because they would prepare literally, like, a spa experience.
Yeah.
They want to make it into a spa experience as much as possible.
So you barricaded yourself in and spent the entire flight sparring in the carsy.
I run my life really perfectly. Whenever I pack for my trips, I use those like little IKEA fold-over boxes, because those are kind of malleable, so you could squish a little bit but also categorize what kind of stuff you want. Like this little one is for a scarf and gloves, and you just switch it out. So I never thought it was an illness, I guess.
Why would you
when I see other people's?
You would die if you saw the way I do my packing, Florence. First, you'd need a tetanus jab, then you would die.
I don't, like, you know, look down on people, but I'm like, function.
How can I live like that?
Yeah.
Beats me. Larry Fine is an award-winning cartoonist and writer. So, Larry, tell me about your mother.
When I was 3 years old, she started piling me up with books about Dr. Albert Schweitzer and Florence Nightingale, thinking that she's going to influence me to be a doctor. What ended up happening is I fell in love with the books. And so from a very early age, I would sit in my room and just draw pictures.
All about medical subjects.
This is funny. I mean, it sounds like a joke, but it's real. When I was 10 years old, I saw my mother sitting in the living room, and I said, Mom, I don't need to be a doctor. And without skipping a beat, she said, all right, a lawyer then. Yeah. I mean, the other thing my parents did was isolate me from the other kids in the neighborhood.
Why?
Because I was their little genius, they thought. Later IQ tests proved they were wrong. I did have a friend in high school. So we got together and we produced an underground newspaper. The paper was called The Toilet Paper. The New York Times slogan was all the news that's fit to print. Ours was The Toilet Paper, all the news that's shit to print. One day, one of the coaches caught me giving them out. He grabbed me, pulled me to the headmaster's office. I was expelled. And so I dropped out, and I just became a hobo.
Literally a hobo.
Literally a hobo. I slept under park benches. I traveled with my thumb out.
Thanks for clarifying. It was your thumb.
Yeah. But anyway, I would have to say that was the happiest time of my life.
Really?
I felt so free. I never had more than $5 in my pocket.
Why are so many of our favorite comedians depressed?
Most of the ones that I've met all have this very similar background of feeling like
outsiders.
An outcast or an outsider as a child. I've met many, many, many cartoonists and humor writers over the years. Everybody was not only the kid in the back of the class drawing pictures, they were also the last one to be chosen for sports. We didn't draw pictures because we thought, oh, how nice, I'm going to draw pictures and be an artist. No, cartoons and humor was that catharsis, that way of getting back. When it comes down to it, humor has a lot of violence built into it, whether it's violent emotions, violent feelings, deep depression or despair, or just silly, light violence.
I am joined by Philippe Jolie, a French actor who's made a career out of playing psychopathic characters in Asian films.
So I have seen directors behaving like they're the king on set.
What was Jackie Chan like?
Jackie Chan is great. Love Jackie Chan. But Jackie Chan has a charisma where as soon as he walks on set, everybody just gets 2 inches taller.
We actually had Jackie Chan on the podcast a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she works in banking and has bipolar disorder. I really pushed the boat out this week, and I can't believe I'm set in a Hong Kong studio about to interview the legendary Jackie Chan. That's Jacqueline. Jackie Chan.
Hi.
Say, I'm
hi.
Jackie Chan.
How are you? I'm great.
So tell me all there is to know about the real Jackie Chan.
My tempo is always not that great. When I was like a teenager in high school, during class, I would just throw my book on the ground and then just like kick the table and then like even like crack the windows. And like so many people actually got scared of me. I'm not really like those soft girl, and I love to beat people.
No, all the studio equipment is fortunately glued down.
I remember once I was in New York, just some people in a nightclub like bump into me. Really crowded, right? I just got really, really pissed off. I just hit that people, like the bouncer just kicked me out. To be fair, she did this something wrong. She just smoking inside the nightclub. You know, the cigarette just like burned into my skin a little. I got really, really mad, and then just I like punch her a little. No, the boyfriend's next to her, and then they just got really scared of me. And I think a little overreact.
Slightly.
Because I know she didn't do it on purpose.
Probably just as well that they brought in the smoking ban. Otherwise, half of Soho would be in A&E. You never see me smoking a
cigarette, car, cigarette smoke, car, that's not me. I heard my ex-boyfriend. He's actually little fat, not crazily fat. He's a really big guy.
So he was punching above his weight. You were punching him in the face.
I know.
Do I hear wedding bells?
I just like hit him with lot of thing. Like I hurt him like with computer, throw the computer to his head and make him use a big bomb.
Hitting him with the laptop, Jesus.
Like I actually broke his thumb.
How did you manage to do that? How did you break someone's thumb?
He's a pretty big guy. I don't know how. He's way bigger than me. Like I didn't mean to around him. I just like can't control myself. Like just, I can't. Oh, you never met anyone like that? I had that problem for a long time.
I can be a loose cannon, but never to the point of hitting anybody.
Every time I meet some guy, I always get triggered, no matter what. I want to be happy. I want to be happy around people. It's just so hard. I want to be normal. I want to think normal.
Where are you with meds?
I study like math, you know? So yeah. I need to be sharp. Pretty difficult when you are mad. It's difficult to be sharp.
I can't even begin to imagine what it must be like to be good at maths. I was nervous that meds would, like, sap my creativity and turn me into the sort of person you dread having to sit next to at dinner parties, dull-witted and drooling into the soup.
Does it help?
Well, we'll get some soup after this and then you tell me.
yeah, I wish.
My concern with you is you're going to have one of these lose-it moments where you blow up and hit somebody and they're going to call the cops. I mean, people have been jailed for nicking a pair of gloves.
Like I said, I don't want to be on mat. So that's why I'm saying maybe my problem is not that bad yet.
Quite a few bipolar people are living a very normal baseline.
Yeah.
And hence passing for normal people.
Normal people?
Well, they don't look like the caricature of, like, someone, like, screaming up and down a street thinking that... the whole, oh, like, God. I believe I can fly.
I believe I can... Not even R. Kelly believes that anymore. I used to believe I can fly.
Yeah, like, but I mean, it's just like, that's what they talk about. They never talk about... Susie Q, who's a bipolar whatever, and yeah, her neighbors have never guessed for 23 years. Like, they never talk about that person.
You are Susie Q because you look so together.
When I was in my teens and my 20s, it was much more apparent. And I've noticed that if somebody else is somewhat unhinged...
Yeah, sorry about that.
Then yes, it will definitely bring out all the old bad coping habits and everything.
Do you think there's a lot of pressure these days to see your life as a performance?
Yes, I really hate Instagram and Facebook for that, because I notice people like staging pictures, basically
set designing your life.
Yeah, and then you know, people start to feel bad because they're like, oh, I'm not capable of that.
One thing I've done that's quite smart, allow me to blow my own horn, which is...
Oh, go on, blow it!
Like, since high school, I just had not too good of a feeling about social media. I just don't find the appeal in ripping my shirt apart and then, like, come look at me.
Are you sure you're bipolar?
But for you, is there is a occupational need.
That explains why my career is going the way it is. Do you think social media is like creating a culture of narcissism?
I think so, because you're creating two different realities. Because social media has become such an important thing, I think people prefer to stage a fake life rather than communicate how unhappy they are in their own. Women in particular, they have those body images that they want to achieve, and then they Photoshop themselves into achieving them, or you know, there's lots of tricks. In Asia in particular, you see some fake noses that you can peel off at the end of the evening.
Have you ever found yourself in bed with a woman or a man whose nose is accidentally peeled off during foreplay?
The best line of the day.
A huge thanks to my guests. I've been Sadie Kay, and so have I.
Bye!